Back in the old days, 1989, I was finishing up my undergrad in philosophy, so it was philosophy and religious studies in upstate New York. And in my second semester, there was a course I decided to take. It was an elective, and it was called Liberation Philosophy. The title itself I thought was rather interesting, and I knew nothing about liberation philosophy, let alone liberation theology, which is what it leads into. But it was curious. The teacher, a little wee nun, if she was 90 pounds wet, maybe. But this woman, Sister Christine, was a powerhouse. And the first words that she said to us, and there was like five of us in the class, she said to us, if any of you have any inclination or desire to become a bishop, leave now. I found it strange. Why would you begin a class that way? I mean, this is a seminary. This ought to be a place of learning, of course, but it seems rather threatening. No, I never had any desire to be a bishop then or now. God love them and God help them. So I thought, okay, well, what is this course all about then? It was perhaps one of the most life-altering courses I've ever taken in my life. Up until that time, my understanding of Scripture was that I was to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It was Jesus and me. And I would do everything in my power to be a good person, to be a faithful person, and to do everything to please my God. And that's how I read the Scriptures. It was basically a guide how to be a good person. But what she taught me in that course, it's not about being a good person. It's about being a disciple. I'd heard it. I had read it right in front of me. Jesus called these disciples. He was teaching the disciples all the time. That was the first thing that grabbed me. It's not about you personally, Paul, being a good person. You're called to be a disciple, first and foremost. In that and within that, you are to be a good person, but it's to be a disciple. It's what she unfolded in those 5 months. What she showed me was that everything that Jesus said and he did had social implications. It wasn't about private devotion. It was about being in the world, allowing the Christ to be incarnated in us so that we bring to the world the light of Christ. Wherever there is darkness, wherever there is decay, wherever there is compromise, wherever there is cruelty and meanness, we are to be the light there. But she also instructed us, and it became more and more clear, and we just heard it in our gospel. To be a disciple means God is first. First. In everything. In every single relationship we have, it is God first. So there will be moments, and I have personally experienced it, and I'm sure you have also, where you will now be at odds with your children, or with your parents, or with your spouse, or with your priest, or whomever it might be. Because you know in your heart of hearts that there is something bigger than us. And it is our duty and our obligation and a loving privilege to bring that light of truth to the world. But we do it as Christ did it. Never with an oppressive and heavy hand. Never with a guilting and shaming voice. But always with an understanding and contrite heart. So when you look at the scriptures, as I did from that point on, I have to admit, I was angry with her. I was quite content in my own private devotion of Jesus and God, because I owned him. It should have been the other way around. And it's getting there. I'm not even close yet. It has to be where it is God who is first and instructs us. Now I have the deepest and utmost respect for this woman. She suffered greatly. She understood those scriptures. She understood God. It was not about being safe and secure. It was about being vulnerable and open. So my friends, today, we are to love our children. We are to love our parents. We are to love our spouses and our friends. Most definitely. But if we view them through the eyes and the lens of a loving God who sees a much more universal picture, we will know what to say and when to say it. We will also know when to remain silent and to pray in the deepest places of our heart for their good and for their well-being. But it will be God who leads us. So let us continue in this celebration of the Eucharist. It is not something I simply receive or give. It is what we become. One body, one mind, one heart, one universal soul, a loving God.